Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles to Exodus chapter 25, and we'll go ahead and begin in verse 10, but not spend tons of time on the ark again, but just kind of wrap it up and move forward into the other things that God starts describing to Moses. God has told Moses he wants the Israeli people to voluntarily give out of the wealth that they received as their back wages when they left Egypt, a whole bunch of material that can be used to build God's special tent at the center of their encampment. This tent we will know later as the tabernacle, and it will be representative of God's presence in Israel as their king. And so one of the things that a king needs is a throne. And that's exactly what the Ark of the Covenant is. It is not a storage box. It is intended to represent the place where God would be seated whenever the Israelites come each day to speak with him and get directions from him. So think of the Ark of the Covenant as a sedan chair, as a portable throne, or as David referred to it, the chariot of God. But it's not a wheeled chariot. It is a chariot that has people, men, carrying it on rods. So let's go ahead and read again. Oh, and one more thing. Remember, I am using the longer royal Egyptian cubit of 20.7 inches as I give you English dimensions for these things. So 25:10, they shall make an ark of acacia wood, so a box. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, so that's 4 feet and almost 4 inches long. 1.5 cubits its breadth and 1.5 cubits its height, and so that would be 2 feet 7 inches. And then you shall overlay it with pure gold inside and out, shall you overlay it. So it's got this gold material of some sort of thickness. We don't know exactly how thick. All over it, probably polished up so it's very, very shiny, almost like a mirror. You shall make on it a molding of gold around it. That seems to have something to do with a decoration. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it and put it on its 4 feet. So it apparently has some sort of foot decoration down at the base for the 4 corners where it's going to touch ground. And somewhere above that foot on the short sides of the box, there are going to be rings that allow you to put these carrying poles through. And so this is going to help it become, as I said, the sedan chair. It's the portable throne effect. Verse 13. You shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. So you take the same durable, readily available wood in lengths of wood, and these are going to be poles, carrying poles. You make them the same rough diameter as the holes of the rings, taking consideration the gold plating or the gold layering. And then you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark by them. The poles shall remain in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. Now, this is a very important thing for us. On some of the other items that are carried, the poles are only used when you're actively carrying it. With the Ark of the Covenant, the poles are left in place all the time. And this is one of the reasons we know, or reason why we can know, that these poles were on the short sides of the Ark of the Covenant, because they jut out into the holy place of the tabernacle and the temple later, because it makes the ark kind of bigger than the holy place actually is, or the most holy place actually is. I think it also serves for this, and this is just my opinion, that it may serve as kind of a pullback for the curtains, the drapes between the holy place and the most holy place, so that if you were standing, as the priests will, at the table for incense, then the drape or the curtain is kind of draped down and on each side of the jutting out poles, which means that you can kind of see right in there and see God's throne. And when it comes time for the priest, one time a year, to go in, he actually goes around the table, or excuse me, the altar of burnt offering, and then between the carrying poles and right straight up to the holy, all of a sudden my brain is trying to just betray me here, the mercy seat that is on the top of the Ark of the Covenant, the place where God is seen to be sitting, okay? So, that's an important aspect of these rings. Now, we don't know how long these poles were, but if they were going to be long enough to carry this Ark of the Covenant that has some weight to it, because it's got a lot of gold on it. We haven't even gotten to the topper that goes on the top of the box. This is going to need a lot more than two guys carrying it on these poles. And the more guys you have carrying it, the longer these poles need to be. And I think there may be good reason to believe that as many as 12 priests would have been carrying this at a time. Okay, verse number 16. You shall put in the ark the testimony that I shall give you. So this is where we find out that it is a box. It has a containing area on the inside of it. And there are going to be three items placed inside of it. The first item that does not yet exist, but will exist shortly, is the testimony. That is the Ten Commandments written on the two tablets by God's own finger. That will be placed inside the seat of the Ark of the Covenant. The other two items that will eventually end up in there is the golden container of one day's ration of manna, or manna. And the third thing will be the power staff of Moses and Aaron that they used throughout the Exodus experience. And this also helps us understand how big that stick could be, because it has to be able to fit in, even at a diagonal, in a box that is 4 feet, 3 inches long, and 2 feet, 7 inches for the other two dimensions. So that means that the staff of God that Moses and Aaron are using cannot probably be over about 4 feet and maybe 6 inches, I would guess. I didn't bother to run the geometry stuff on it, which I probably could. But it can't be much longer than 4.5 feet. Okay? Verse number 17. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. Now, the mercy seat here is actually the word for covering. It is the word for atonement. So it's kind of got a mixture of things together. So it's the topper for the box of the Ark of the Covenant. But it is also the place where atonement will be accomplished on a regular basis. This is where the blood will be placed every Yom Kippur, every Day of Atonement, once a year, for the ceremonies. The word in Greek, in the Greek Old Testament, is interesting because it is the word, or it's related to the word, that is sometimes translated into English as propitiation, which is a fancy word that basically means the place where sin is taken care of, the place where sin is removed. And in the New Testament, the word is applied to Jesus. So this mercy seat that we're reading about here in Exodus 25, 17 and following is associated with what Jesus does by going to the cross and offering himself as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He is the means by which our sins are removed. So they're supposed to take this mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its breadth. So it's the same dimensions as the top of the box, the top of the ark. But it's a topper. It fits over the top. There might even be some sort of locking mechanism where it might have some corner posts that go down over the corners of the box so that it will lock in place once it's on there. Now, it has a very specific design to it. Verse 18, you shall make 2 cherubim of gold. Of hammered work shall you make them on the ends of the mercy seat. Make one cherub on the one end and 1 cherub on the other end. Of one piece with the mercy seat shall you make the cherubim on its 2 ends. And the cherubim shall spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings, their faces one to the other. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be. Now, you've probably seen a lot of representations of the Ark of the Covenant, which portrays it as it's some sort of storage box. And so it has these, and it depends on who's doing the drawing. Sometimes it's a humanoid figure with wings where it's taking up the entirety of the top of the box. Others will make them into more like Sphinx figures that have human faces that are on the top of the box. I think all of that is just goofiness, because we know what cherubim look like. They're real creatures. They appear in the book of Ezekiel. And they are four-faced, four-winged, angelic beings. And in the book of Ezekiel, we know that they have a human face, and a lion face, a bull face, and an eagle face on the four sides of their head. And so that's exactly what Moses would have seen in heaven. He would have seen the real thing. And he is being told, you will now make a piece of artwork to represent 2 of these creatures. They will be situated at the edges of the mercy seat, at the top, leaving the place in between blank. Because remember, the place in between is where the king sits, because this is a portable throne. So the figures will be at the 2 ends of the top. Their wings, at least one set of wings, is going to be up and over the top like some sort of canopy. And so this is going to be a very decorative throne. That's effectively what it's going to look like. Now, this topper is to be made of one big chunk of gold. In order for it to not be too heavy, it must be beaten, and we actually see that word used here, so that it is some sort of stylized representation of these angelic creatures. Now, it could be that they are beaten and wrapped around so that they become hollow figures, because that's possible to do, especially if you're skilled in this sort of artwork. Or it could be that they are so highly stylized that they are flattened figures, so that this is almost I'm trying to think of how to use this wording here, that they are almost light and airy in appearance. And all of us have experienced different types of artwork. Some of it, they look really heavy because they're very thick, and others are very thin and therefore very airy. And so that's what I'm trying to express here. Bezalel is the guy that will be charged with making this thing, and it will be his personal spirit-driven inspiration that will result in the making of this artwork. Because it is very much art that we're talking about here. So once this topper is finished, I'm guessing that it's not going to weigh much more than a couple of 100 pounds is about all it should be. Because the box underneath it is not huge. It's made of good sturdy wood that has been covered with gold. But you don't want to crush it with something too heavy right on the top of it. And so I'm guessing that it may be 100, maybe 150 pounds of gold that is made into this big piece of artwork that sits right on the top. And that's what we get to next, verse 21. You shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you. So the topper is only put on once you've opened up the lid. And the lid may not be on hinges. It actually might be something that sits into a ridge on the top of the framework of this box that we're calling the Ark of the Covenant. But once you open it up and put the things in there that belong in there, which at this point, God is only talking about the Ten Commandments that will be put in there eventually, you close the lid on it that is part of the original box, and then on top of that is seated, and perhaps even locked into place somehow, this one-piece golden artwork. And now you have the throne of God in this majestic design. Verse 22, there I will meet with you. And from above the mercy seat, that's the center portion of this topper, from between the two cherubim, which I'm guessing it's the human faces that face inward, which then means if you're looking at the Ark of the Covenant, one of the faces looking at you on one side is going to be a lion-like face, and the other face that's facing you is going to be a bull-like face, and then you're going to be able to see the eagle faces facing outward, out to the sides of the ark on both sides, because that's just the way it would work when we're talking about these four-faced, four-winged creatures. So between the two cherubim, there on the Ark of the Testimony, I will speak with you about all that I will give you in commandment for the people of Israel. So Moses is being told by God, once you build this thing and you place it into the Holy of Holies, you're going to come into the tabernacle, into the holy place, and you're going to be able to look in to the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant is at, and I will talk to you from right here in between these two cherubim faces and above the Ark of the Covenant. And my guess again is that the pillar of fire that settles down on top of the Ark of the Covenant, the glowing presence of God, is actually going to have its starting point right there between the cherubim faces and above the Ark of the Covenant, and go up through the ceiling of the tabernacle, and then go up above the tabernacle and spread out over as a canopy over the entire encampment. So it's really hard to kind of describe all these things over the radio, and even in person, it's difficult to do. I would love to have had the ability to be an artist, especially a 3D type artist who could render all of this stuff. In fact, you know what? Let's just try this again. I did this like two times before when I was going through the Bible the third time through. And I made an appeal. If there's anyone out there that has the skill, either the physical hands-on skill with 3D drawing, or if you have computer skill in order to do 3D rendering on the computer, I would love to partner with you to help make a very reasonable design of what I'm trying to describe here with the building of the tabernacle. And if you do such a great job of it, a whole bunch of other people want to get your work, you go ahead and do that for your profit. I would love just to be involved in the project to help people see what we're talking about here in a very reasonable form. So you can always contact me through my email, thomasjshort@comcast.net, or I'm going to throw out my church phone number as well. It's 574-850-1327. So if you have those gifts, those skills, or you know someone who has those gifts and skills, then please think about partnering with me on this sort of project. Okay, back to verse 23 now. We move to another piece of, we usually refer to it as furniture. I feel that's kind of weird in our culture because a furniture is typically things like the couch or the dining room table. And we're talking more about things that are used in worship ceremony for the Jewish people. So verse number 23, you shall make a table of acacia wood. So now it's not a box, it's a table. 2 cubits shall be its length. And so it's going to be basically 2 cubits wide. That's 41.4 inches or 3 feet and almost 5.5 inches wide. And then a cubit is its breadth. So that's how deep it is from front to back. And so that would be 1 foot, 8.7 inches. And a cubit and a half its height. And so that would be the same height as the top of the Ark of the Covenant. So that would be 2 feet, basically 7 inches. You shall overlay it with pure gold and make a molding of gold around it. So a lot of that sounds similar. You shall make a rim around it a hand breadth wide. And so now we're not just simply making a decorative bit around its edges. We're now actually making something that will keep stuff in, kind of like a rail around the top of it. Now, this rim is described as being a hand breadth wide. So a hand breadth is across the base of your fingers. And I think it's roughly 3.5 to 4 inches wide, depending on how big your hand is. You shall make for it 4 rings of gold and fasten the rings to the 4 corners of its 4 legs. That's very similar again to the Ark of the Covenant, with one exception this time. I believe this time the poles that are made are only for when you transport it. The poles are not left in place all the time. Close to the frame, the rings shall lie as holders for the bowls to the poles to carry the table. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, and the table shall be carried with these. And you shall make its plates and dishes for incense, and its flagons and bowls with which to pour drink offerings, and you shall make them of pure gold. and you shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me regularly. Now we finally get to the purpose of this table. This is the table on which the flat loaves of bread, 12 in number, representing the 12 tribes of Israel, will be placed week after week after week. So it's in effect the dining table of God, because eating with God is a very important part of the covenant. And so this is going to be God's dinner table. And every week, this bread is going to be changed out. And the old bread will be eaten by the priests who are on duty for that particular day. So this is actually the beginning, I think, of communion, because it's not just simply bread that would be placed on this table. You'll also see that we have drink offering containers that are placed on this table as well. Verse 31, and boy, I don't know if I really want to get into this yet because we're almost out of time. We've only got about a minute left. So let me talk a little bit more about the bread of the presence table. The bread of the presence is the reminder that the people of God are in God's presence 7 days a week, every day, all day long. And so we need to be aware of that, that our fellowship with Him is not sporadic. It is day by day by day by day. And so thankfully we have weekly gatherings to remind us of that reality. And communion is part of that. And I think that is what the bread table was supposed to communicate to the Israeli people. You're always eating with me. But especially once a week when we're all taking time to think about that relationship. Well, let's go ahead and close up for the day, and we'll get back into the Word tomorrow.